Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
That was the last time I actually have seen Devin. I didn't notice anything different about him. He was doing the normal, you know, stuff that he normally did. He was on spring break that week. He was, you know, in his room playing video games, things like that. The last time I saw him, you know, I said, good night. Don't stay up too late. Love you.
16-year-old Devin Bond disappeared from his home in Murfreesboro, Tennessee in the early morning hours of March 31st, 2017. His mother, Heather, last saw Devin just hours earlier before she went to bed on the evening of the 30th. The next morning, his family discovered that he was missing when they went to check on him. They found that he had stuffed pillows and towels under the sheets of his bed to make it appear like he was sleeping. His family initially thought that he had just snuck out, so they checked with all of his friends, but they had no idea where he could be. Devin's family, local law enforcement, and the community have all come together to search for Devin, but the reason he left that night still remains as much of a mystery as it was 5 months ago. I'm Marissa, and this is episode 91 of The Vanished, the Devin Bond story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. As you guys know, I've been trying to incorporate some newer cases in recent months. I think that if we get these stories out there sooner instead of waiting until these cases have gone cold, maybe we can reach someone with a fresh memory. Devin has gotten a fair amount of press coverage locally, but what if he isn't in the area anymore? Leading up to Devin's disappearance, he appeared to be living the life of a typical teen. He lived at home with his parents and 9-year-old brother, played football for his high school, got good grades, liked to play video games, and stayed out of trouble. I spoke to Devin's mom, Heather, for this episode, and she told me about the last time she saw her son.
I worked on March 30th is when that was the last time I actually have seen Devin. I didn't notice anything different about him. He was doing the normal, you know, stuff that he normally did. He was on spring break that week. He was, you know, in his room playing video games, things like that. The last time I saw him, you know, I said, good night. Don't stay up too late. Love you.
The next morning, they discovered that Devin wasn't in his room.
The next morning, because he was on spring break, we don't make a habit of going in there checking on him. The way my husband discovered that Devin was missing is that he sent my younger son in there to wake him up. And my younger son noticed that he had sheets and like towels and stuff like covered like to look like he was in the bed. And then he came out and told him he's not in there. And so then my husband went in there and looked. When he called me, he actually left that part out and he just said that he's missing. If I would have known that, I would have known more. It was more serious because obviously he left and didn't wanted us to think he was there. So I left work early. I actually went to a friend's house that lives down the street, checked to see if he was there. He wasn't there. I called a mother of another friend that he hangs out with, and they live kind of a little further away, but I was, you know, like, well, maybe. So she said that she would check with her son and look around and make sure he wasn't there. And then Devin also had a girlfriend. So I drove over there. She doesn't live close to us either, but I went ahead and went over there and looked and to check to see if he may have went over there. No one answered the door at her house. And I believe I texted her mother to see if she had seen Devin recently. We continued to look at a few other places that we knew that he, you know, talked to kids or hung out. And that's when we really started getting really concerned because he doesn't, like I said, we immediately knew he doesn't usually do this. He's not with the usual people that he's with.
When calling around to Devin's friends and going to his usual hangouts wasn't getting them anywhere, they decided to call law enforcement.
So we discussed it and decided to go ahead and file a police report. They came to our house, you know, asked basic information about where, you know, his description, things like that, and we provided that. And then they left. We continued to look, and we ended up calling family members, things like that, to help, you know, look around town for him.
This is when they made a frightening discovery.
And our sister-in-law actually came over, and we were talking about, like, where he could possibly be. And she asked, have you checked to make sure nothing is missing? And she said, make sure, you know, my husband has a few guns. You know, she said, make sure that nothing like that's missing. My husband goes, it's actually, he checked some, and then we checked the one that he has in the closet that's in a case that's put up. And that's when we noticed that a handgun was missing from our house. So we immediately called the police again, and then they came back out, and we told them. And I think that's when they kind of listed him as endangered, because we didn't know, like, why, like, that never even crossed our mind that he would do that. He's not, you know, violent. He doesn't have any mental issues that ever, you know, surfaced prior to this, like nothing. And it, like, never even crossed our mind that he would do something like that. My husband was in the military, so he taught Devin about gun safety, things like that. It's just, we were really nervous about it. The police came back out there, and they got the information off of that. That's when we kind of thought, well, why, like, you start thinking, why did he take it? And then you immediately go, is he trying to hurt himself?
Devin's family was obviously extremely concerned after finding that a gun was missing, so they began searching the wooded areas near their home.
So my husband and family and friends, we started searching in the woods. Like, he has a couple places around our house. There's like a pond. There's like cave, things like that, that he liked to hang out in. That's the first places we searched. He wasn't in any of those places. As it went a little bit further, I guess the police decided that they were going to have dogs track his scent and see if they could locate him that way. They took the dogs. It didn't lead towards the woods. It actually lead like towards out of our neighborhood. And then the dogs at one point after a mile or two got tired, so they had to stop. And then that's when they decided to ping his phone because that was actually missing. And they pinged his phone at the last time was about 5:30 a.m. on March 31st. And it was going towards, I live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, so it was actually going towards a street away from our house called Church Street in Murfreesboro. They started to go over there and look. They called in helicopters from another town. We live in a big town, but there's also a lot of wooded area. There's a lot of places to hide, I guess. They had helicopters come in, look around for a few hours. They have drones that they dispatch to look around. The first weekend, they had officers on the ground looking in abandoned houses, looking in the woods, all that, and nothing really came of it.
When the searches of the areas surrounding Devin's home didn't offer any clues, they moved on to checking out his social media.
So on a Monday morning, we got assigned a detective to work the case. And of course, that's when they start pulling phone records, looking at social media, things like that. Nothing's really come of any of that, because I guess that he uses an app to text a lot of times where it doesn't save the information. So, like, there really wasn't a whole lot on that information.
I wondered if they thought that Devin's phone had powered down in the area of that last ping, and Heather gave me some more background information on his phone.
Yeah, they don't really know. They said that that's possible. What happened with the phone is, I'm like, probably about a month and a half prior, he had an iPhone, but he dropped it or something, and it broke and wouldn't turn back on. He was a couple months away from getting like a new upgrade. So what we did was, I had an old phone that we activated temporarily until we could get him a new phone that, you know. So the battery on it wasn't that great. He didn't take a charger or anything like that. So it could have died. He could have just turned it off once he got to a certain part, or he could have just thrown it. I mean, we really just don't know.
They could tell what direction Devin was walking in based on the phone pings. His girlfriend's house was in that direction, but it would have been a far walk to get all the way to her house.
The area that he was actually going to was actually the area where his girlfriend lived. Like, he was going in that direction. It's a long walk. It's probably about 6 to 7 miles. And I know that he would walk it, because like a week or two before, he actually asked me, hey, can I walk over to her house? And I was like, no, that's too far. And that's dangerous. Don't do that. I was like, we'll just drive you over there. So I'm like, I know he has thought about doing that before. And I mean, he's in good shape. So I mean, he can make the walk.
They've been able to use the ping information to see that Devin didn't take the most direct route that morning. But Heather's pretty sure she knows why he did that.
And the other thing about where he walked, I feel like it was important, because there's more of a direct route to the area that he was going to, but he decided to take a longer route around. And the reason we believe that he did that is because of the time that he left. We are assuming that he left around 3:30, 3:45. And by the time that it would take for him to walk over there, my husband gets off at work about 6. He actually works over there. And he would have took the direct route home. So we're thinking that he's actually walking around to avoid being seen by my husband.
Devin's girlfriend was out of state when he disappeared, so it's a mystery as to why he would have been walking in that direction. Heather also learned some important information about their relationship after he disappeared.
Later, what I found out is, during that weekend, when I text his girlfriend, she was actually visiting her dad out of state. He told me that a week before, that she wasn't going to be home all week. So when I figured out where he was going, I was like, well, why is he going over there? Because he doesn't really know anybody but her over there. So we kind of figured, like, maybe she got home early or something like that. So I kept texting her, and she finally responded and said that the last time that she talked to Devin was on Thursday night, which is March 30th. And I said, well, did he sound upset? Or she was like, kind of. And I was like, well, why kind of upset? And I was like, kept on trying, why was he upset? She's like, well, I broke up with him. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, what did he say? She's like, he just said okay and like hung up. She didn't think he was that really upset, but he just hung up on her. I thought that was kind of weird. But like I said, I think they broke up at like 8:30. I didn't go to bed till like 11:30 p.m. He never demonstrated any being upset, anything like that. Like, I didn't notice him acting different. And I actually had seen him after they had broken up. And I didn't notice anything different about his, you know, nothing had changed. But I mean, I'm assuming because of, you know, prior times that he's broken up with a girl or they've broken up with him, he has been, you know, a little sad, a little upset about it. But I usually just thought it was like, that's normal. But because that happened tonight and then he left, I kind of feel like, well, maybe he was a little bit more upset because of it.
Devin had spoken with a friend about his breakup shortly before he disappeared.
And then we found out, I think it was on Sunday that after he disappeared, that he contacted another friend. And she actually told me he doesn't really talk to her a whole lot, but he usually texts her when he's upset and just talks to her. She said, I knew he was upset because we don't ever talk until he's upset about something. She actually sent me a copy of the text messages. When I read the text messages, I really got really scared. Because you could tell in the text messages that he was really upset and that he could have possibly wanted to hurt himself at that moment. But at the end of the text, it went to a more positive place. Like, she kind of, like, talked him, you know, like, you know, hey, don't do something. You're nuts. And he promised her that he wouldn't. So it ended more positive. That was a really hard thing to, you know, to see your child talking about. And then with all the other things that are going on, I thought, well, we're looking for his body.
Even though Devin seemed upset while speaking to the one friend, his conversations with other friends were very ordinary.
There's two boys that he's really close with. They really don't know. I believe them. They don't know where he went. He never said anything that night to them about being upset, going anywhere, nothing. They said they had normal conversations. I've even seen one of the boys' phones, and they were sending, you know, silly stuff back and forth to each other, you know, making each other laugh. So, I mean, they had no clue.
Another clue was discovered on some surveillance videos in their neighborhood.
As you go along, you learn, like, little pieces of what happened. Our neighbor actually has, we live at the beginning of a cul-de-sac. And so our neighbor across the street is kind of placed where they have, like, video cameras. And they go directly to our house. And so they have outside cameras. So they pulled those cameras and found that about, I believe they said about 3:30 in the morning, we have floodlights on the back of our house that you have to, they're not motion sensored. You actually have to physically turn them on. And they were on for about 15 minutes and then turned off. And then how their camera is actually facing our house, you can see it a little bit down the road, which is the only way out of our house. No one actually went out the front door. So he had to have left through the back door. And our yard is actually fenced in. And then there's a house directly behind us. So he would have to jump the fence, go through someone else's yard to go to a main road. He didn't go out the front door when he left, which I don't know why. And we're kind of wondering, like, what was he doing for those 15 minutes that the light was on in our backyard?
They found another possible yet puzzling clue in Devin's room.
The detectives actually looked at his room. Of course, they take a few things like that. But one interesting thing I think they found is that he had a piece of paper written in his room. It had the number 7:30 on it. It's kind of like, well, is that a date or is that a time? And, like, why would he have written that in his room? It just seems a little random, so.
They've been trying to figure out what 7:30 referred to, and no one has quite figured it out yet. Since he left in the early morning hours, I wonder if he may have had plans to meet someone at 7:30 that morning. Or maybe it has a totally different meaning, and maybe it means nothing at all. A witness came forward after hearing about Devin's disappearance. She'd seen a teenager out walking at 4:33 a.m. on the morning that Devin disappeared.
when he was walking over there, it's not really a confirmed sighting with the phone being pinged at that time and in the time that they calculated that it would take him to walk that route. We actually have someone that saw a child, you know, a kid walking down the road, and she actually pinged it on her phone because she thought, well, that's weird that a kid's out. And she actually said, well, I don't think he's probably out to no good, up to no good. So she said, I was going to market so I could tell the police later if anything happened. And so she actually saw him walking on that road. And we have a couple other people that have said that also. I think after he walked a little bit, there's maybe a video camera of him going a little bit past that area. You can't make out that it's him, but the time and everything matches. And so that's pretty much the last time he's been seen.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. This road that she saw him walking on is the same area that his last ping came from. She believes that she saw him at 4:33 a.m. and his phone last pinged at 4:56 a.m. They believe that his phone was about 1.8 miles south of the cell tower that it pinged off of. It's very scary to think that Devin may have left that night to harm himself. Between the gun going missing, the breakup with his girlfriend, and the upset text messages to a friend, it's been a huge worry for his family.
I know that sometimes, like, it takes, you know, I've read other cases about missing people and things like that, and I know that, you know, sometimes it takes a while to something for his turn up or whatever like that, but as time has gone by and how many searches, like, my husband has walked for a straight month all around the woods, everywhere in our town. We've had, like I said, searches, things like that. The dogs have looked, police have looked. I feel like we would have found them if that's what happened. So I mean, that's always in your mind that could be what happened. But I guess sometimes as time goes by, I actually feel like, well, maybe that's not what happened. I really don't know what he was thinking when he left. That's the problem. I don't know his state of mind when he decided to leave.
I know that when I heard that he had taken a gun, I was immediately worried that he may have intended to harm himself. But the more that I thought about it,
there are other reasons that he may have taken a gun with him.
Like, when you think of that, you think, oh, you know, that's the matter where you go. But they actually said that he could have took it to sell, or he could have took it for protection. I mean, yeah, that's not the only reason that somebody would do that, but it makes you go there at first, because that's scary, because you don't know what their mind is, their mind state is when they leave. And then another thing with that is like I said, we didn't even think of looking at it, and we assume that he probably took it that night, but we don't check it. Like I said, it's put up in a case in our closet. We didn't look at it every day. We don't know if it went missing before that. Most likely, he probably did take it, but I mean, we don't know that either.
I was wondering if they've been able to determine if Devin took anything with him when he left. That could help us to better understand what his intentions may have been when he left early that morning.
It was so much going on. I looked and I couldn't find anything. But after a few weeks, after I was able to go in there and look in his room, because at first we weren't even allowed to go into his room because they needed to look at it first. And they told us not to touch it. So I really couldn't tell if something was missing. After a while, I did find like a black drawstring backpack missing. He had a jacket that he wore all the time that was missing. And I believe a couple pair of pants were missing. As far as shirts or anything like that, I have no idea of anything what's missing in there. But I do feel like pants are missing because I looked at them and I feel like at least a couple pair are missing. But yeah, it's really, I didn't ever think about how hard it is to think about all their clothes they have and like what would he have taken. But I do know that jacket is missing and that it was cold the night that he left. So he would have wore a jacket.
One of Devin's friends has come forward with information about a conversation that they had had in the past that may be relevant.
The one friend said in the past that he had mentioned wanting to live with the homeless. I believe he told the detective that. And when the detective told me that, I was like, I don't necessarily believe that. I think that's something that he was just saying. He might have been mad at us, or it just didn't seem like something that he would want to do. I mean, he's really clean. He likes to eat. I mean, you know, it just doesn't make sense that he would want to do that. At this point, like, we didn't think that he would, you know, walk away, run away. So I was like, well, maybe he is. So we actually walked. We're a town that's growing really fast, and along with that is our homeless population is growing really fast too. So we actually have a lot of homeless people here. So what we did was we started walking in the wooded areas around our town, meeting with homeless people, passing out flyers, you know, just saying, hey, if you see this kid, you know, call. We actually collected a reward, and we told them about that, and we actually met a few of them that wanted to help. They actually go to the local library. They printed off flyers there, and they would walk to other homeless camps that we didn't know about and hand out flyers for us. So we've checked area, you know, homeless shelters, things like that, and we've covered that because, I mean, you don't know what anything's possible. So,
since we know that Devin was using an app to send text messages on his phone, which has made it so they haven't been able to access those text messages, I wondered if he could have been talking to someone that no one else knew about. We also know that he liked to play video games. Could he have met someone while playing video games online?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's possible. He's big at gaming and things like that, and he has people on there that you don't know who they really are. They're not all friends from school or whatever. He meets random people and plays games with them. I believe, yeah, he could have absolutely given his number out to somebody and maybe be texting on the app. Yeah, I believe that's actually kind of what I feel like at this point. I mean, I feel like somebody has to be helping him And I feel like, you know, I feel like he had to have known somebody and had something planned if he was going to, you know, stay under the radar and be missing this long.
One thing that I came across while researching Devin's case was that the community has really stepped up to help, which is wonderful to see. Many local businesses have donated things like meals and water for searchers, candles for a vigil, missing persons flyers, and even a large banner to hang in town. It's also nice to see that the sheriff's office has really taken Devin's disappearance seriously, and they didn't just label him a runaway and do nothing. I want to go over some important facts that we know about Devin's disappearance. Heather last saw Devin on the evening of the 30th before she headed to bed. His girlfriend had broken up with him that evening, and he texted several friends after that. He told one friend that he was upset over the breakup, but acted totally normal to his other friends. A surveillance video in the neighborhood picked up the floodlights behind their house turning on around 3:30 a.m. on the 31st. The lights stayed on for about 15 minutes. Remember, those floodlights don't have a motion sensor, so someone had to have turned them on with a switch. It couldn't have just been something like an animal walking by. The cameras didn't show Devin ever coming out the front of his house, so he must have left out the back. It appears that he took a black Nike drawstring backpack, and Heather's pretty sure that some pants are definitely missing as well, but she's not 100% sure about any shirts. He also took his phone, but not the charger, and most likely a handgun. They also found the number 730 written on a paper in his room. There was a possible sighting of Devin walking at 4:33 a.m. and his phone pinged in that same area at 4:56 a.m. That was the last ping from his phone. For those of you who live close by, this was in the area of Barfield Crescent Road. Everyone's been wondering why it appears that he was walking in the direction of his girlfriend's house since she was out of state at the time. Even though Devin didn't have any other friends who lived in that direction, that is the direction that he would have had to walk to get to the interstate. One thing that I never really thought much about until I covered some people who may have left on their own is that it might be really hard to come back once you've left. Maybe Devin didn't think this through very much and made an irrational move when he left. Maybe now he's afraid to come back with all the attention that's on his case. Imagine if you ran away for a few months and everyone desperately searched for you. It might be hard to come back to face that and explain why you left.
Maybe he doesn't know how to come home. Like, it's just gotten so big that he's just like, I don't know what to do at this point. I don't know how to go home, even though he may want to. I know I've talked to other kids that have run away. They always say, like, I wanted to come home, but I didn't know how, which I always find really interesting because, like, you can always go home. You know, your parents love you and miss you, and that doesn't, I don't know that matters, but you're right. I actually think maybe that might be the situation, if that's where he's at.
So what happened to Devin Bond on March 31st, 2017? Did he leave his home with the intention of harming himself? Did he take a gun with him for that purpose, or maybe for protection? Did he decide to run away and live among the homeless like he once mentioned to a friend? Or could Devin have met the wrong person online? Even if Devin left on his own, he's just 16 years old, which makes him very vulnerable. One thing that I kept thinking about since I spoke to Heather was why Devin would have made his bed look like he was still sleeping in it. We were all teenagers once, and I bet many of us snuck out of the house at some point. If he had left to harm himself, would he have bothered to make it look like he was still sleeping? I think he must have done that because either he planned on coming back or he wanted as much time as possible to get as far as he could without his parents discovering that he was missing. That way, by the time they figured out he was gone, he would have had a head start and wouldn't be right down the street. Devin Bond was last seen wearing a gray shirt and khaki pants. He also took a red and gray North Face pullover jacket with him when he left. Devin is 6 feet tall and about 160 pounds with brown eyes and brownish blonde hair. If you have any information about the disappearance of Devin Bond, please contact the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office at 615-898-7770. If you're interested in following Devin's case on social media, Heather runs a Facebook group called Bring Devin Home. And Devin, if you happen to search your name on the internet and come across this podcast, please, at the very least, call someone and let them know you're okay. That brings us to the end of episode 91. I'd like to thank Heather for taking the time to speak with me for this episode. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, I have a Facebook page and a group. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram as thevanishedpodcast. Join me next time. I'll be discussing a case from Arizona. Thanks for listening.
From there, I mean, we continue to hand out flyers. We've had a few searches where we've done like a more, you know, we've actually just walked the whole area and searched areas where his phone has last pinged. And it's, I mean, that's what we keep on doing is just, we did that the first month. I think there was like 4 searches that we did on the ground. And then the last, I think after about 2 weeks, I actually contacted several groups to kind of assist with looking for Devin. And they ended up working with a group called Q, and they have cadaver dogs. And so they sent them out to a couple locations. Pretty much what I've been told is that if somebody intends to hurt themselves, they either do it at their house, somewhere special to them, or they go and make a statement. And so that's kind of where they were focusing it on. And of course, nothing came up of when they, you know, sent the dogs looking for him.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.